Welcome back to the Easy Talk Show. This is your host, Easy Ward. This is the show you'll get nourishment for your needs, food for your soul, and of course, healing for your hearts. Thank you for all the love and feedback from episode 32, Lessons in Leadership. Oh, actually, episode 31, part two, Lessons in Leadership. Thank you for all the love, all the comments, the reposts. You know, I really appreciate you all per usual. You know, you all have been hanging in there with us. You know, now we're on episode 32, but you know, if you're new to my channel, please like, comment, and subscribe to Easy Ward TV. Also, hit the link below for, you know, for our mailing list. The second half of the year, you know, I really hope to have some great things in store for you guys. So please hit that Flow Desk link. I promise I won't spam you, you know, but, you know, we're going to have some great things this year, you know, with the second half of the year. So today's episode is something that, you know, I feel like it's not really talked about a lot. It's something that I believe that a lot of people struggle with, but we don't talk about it a lot. And the title of this is called Wait Your Turn. And I titled it that because in a culture that promotes me, it's all about me. It's all about, you know, my blessing, my breakthrough, my time, living my truth. Christ calls us to live for him and to crucify our flesh and our desires, and also celebrate others. And I think that right now in this culture and time period, we don't always take time to celebrate other people, but also champion what somebody else has going on. It's not always about you. It's not. And, you know, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news today, but I'll be it, you know. It's not always about you. It is time to think about somebody else, celebrate somebody else, and ultimately wait your turn. So I got a few scriptures today that, you know, we're going to talk about, but also scriptures that will anchor this conversation that, you know, eventually Dan and I will have. So the first scripture is Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The next one is Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The word of God's word is blessed. And today, I want to talk about waiting your turn and what to do in the wait, right? You know, I think last year, you know, I talked about, you know, how the weight of the wait is, you know, can be extremely heavy and it can be something that really just tires you out. And sometimes the waiting season, if you're not careful, can discourage you, but also tire you out for the promise. Because it's almost like when a parent says, not right now. And it's almost as if your heart begins to hurt, but also scripture says hope deferred makes the heart sick. And sometimes when your hope is constantly deferred, when that breakthrough is constantly being pushed back, or your parent or God is saying, not right now. What do you do in that time period? What do you do to get to that next season? And today, you know, I want to talk about some practical strategies on things you can do, you know, when you are waiting your turn. And the first thing is this: support other people. So what does that look like? So that looks like this. If your friend right now is in a season where they are winning, you know, God is doing amazing things in their life. They are getting breakthrough after breakthrough, you know, buying a new car, buying a new house, in a new relationship, you know, just got married, you know, just had a child. You should be cheering them on. Like, don't stop hating. Like, I don't know any other way to say this. Don't be a hater. Do not be a hater. Celebrate the people around you. Celebrate their victories and their wins, because it's going to be your turn eventually. But could it be a test of your heart and your heart posture and your season of waiting that is either prolonging or promoting you to your destiny or to the next thing God has for you? How you wait matters. So, you know, what I believe is that when you're in seasons of waiting your turn, you should be celebrating other people, being there biggest cheerleader possible. Also, find out where you can serve. The quickest way to elevation is servanthood. You know, scripture says this, and this is Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What that scripture is essentially telling us is that, listen, through Christ, we give up our old ways, our old life. So, you know, Christ, he came to show us what serving and sacrifice looks like. So, you know, we're all called to serve. You should be serving. Figure out how you can promote somebody else's vision, how you can, you know, ask your leaders, hey, how can I help you? If you want to get promoted, serve, help somebody else, celebrate somebody else, show somebody else that, listen, you know what? I want to help invest into your vision. There have been times where you know, I will ask people, hey, how can I just assist you? Like, I don't want anything in return. I just want to be able to be in the room and help you push your vision forward. And I think right now in this culture of living for myself, living for my truth, living for, you know, what do I benefit from it? We don't really take time to serve and also, you know, be of service to others. So the first two points is supporting other people and serve. Support other people and serve. Next, I call it showing up for yourself. So what does that look like? What is showing up for yourself looks like? That means that sometimes you're going to encourage yourself when you're waiting. Sometimes when you are in a waiting season, you may not have it all figured out. You may not have everybody to pour into you. Sometimes it's going to take you to declare victory over your life, to speak positive things over your life, to speak into yourself, to say, you know what, I'm going to get through this. This is not my end. This is not the final straw in my story. And sometimes that may be hard. That may be hard to support yourself. But when you do that, I mean, show up for yourself. But when you do that, you are constantly renewing your mind. You know, you're renewing your spirit. So I would tell you, make sure that you are one, showing up for yourself. Be your own cheerleader. Everybody's not going to always support you or see the vision, but sometimes it's up to you to pour into your own cup. And lastly, prepare yourself for the moment. I would hate for God to move in my life and me get to the next level and not be prepared for the moment. The worst thing you can do is get a blessing and fumble it because you're not ready for it. So what I would encourage you to do in this season, when you are waiting, when you are trying to figure out what's next, maximize the preparation season. The other day, I said this on TikTok, but private preparation precedes public promotion. Private preparation precedes public promotion. It is important to prepare in private, because there's going to be a time, God willing, you are going to be promoted. But how you prepared in private will show in those moments. I recently just had the opportunity to watch one of my closest friends, shout out to Keon, Journey to the Hills, you know, preach his initial sermon. And the first thing that I took from that moment was, what we're seeing is a product of all the preparation that he did in private. He was only able to produce and preach on that great level that he did because he prepared in private. He's been preparing for years. You know, people don't see the mornings where he's up at 5 a.m. in his word, worshiping, talking to God. That's the only way that he's able to make, he made it look seamless, but he's only able to do that because he prepares in private. It's just like when we see athletes perform at the highest level, or you see your favorite artist perform at the highest level. The only way they're able to get on stage or get on the field, on the court, on the track and make it look so effortless is that they practice for years at a time. Usain Bolt, he would make 9.6 seconds look like it was a cake in the walk But nobody saw the 3 years in between the Olympics or 2 years in between the world championships that he was practicing in 95 degree heat, having shin splints, you know, running on grass because his shins were, you know, were hurting. So I say all to say this, that when you are waiting your turn, it is important to support other people. Show up. Don't be a hater. Showing up for yourself. Preparing yourself for the moment. And serving. Make sure, you know, you find somebody that you can help serve, whether it's a leader, whether it's somebody that you admire. Go serve somebody else. Help somebody else with their vision. You know, be of service to other people. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came to serve. He came to serve, and that's what he wants from us. So, you know, I would encourage you that if you're seeking promotion, make sure you find somewhere that you can serve. So I will stop right there, and open it up for Dan and I to have a discussion around these, topics. And, you know, yeah, we'll go from there.
Man, first of all, I really like the topic. There's a couple of things that it made me just think about. One was just like, have you ever been to a restaurant and your table's not ready yet?
Mm-hmm.
And they have to go through a process to clean the table, prepare the table for you so your experience can be enjoyable. And a lot of times, because it's a service, we show up and expecting we want to be walk straight in the door. But if we were to see the crumbs, the stains that was left before us, and we were to sit down, we would have an unenjoyable experience. A lot of times we just have to let God prepare the table for us, prepare the hearts of the servants or the people who, the team that we're going to need when we get there. Prepare, basically, let the blessing cook. Everybody want a microwave. Everybody got this microwave faith. And the best food does not take... I made steak the other day. I seen easy cooking, y'all. Easy, I don't know who this is for out there. Easy cooking. You hear me? Hey, I seen a video.
Tell him. We can go talk in 2 seconds.
I seen a video. It's proof. Easy cooking. That's a good brother right there. I'm just letting y'all know. But I made a steak the other day, and it was the best steak I ever made because... although I wanted to make it on a certain night, I seasoned it with salt and all my seasonings 24 hours in advance. And it allowed the salt to seep through the steak. I had to wait a day and be hungry. You know, I had to settle, mm-hmm. Well, not settle, but I had to, you know, eat something else that night. But when it was time to actually eat, the experience was so much more enjoyable because I waited the 24 hours for the seasons to come through. It's like waiting on the table at the restaurant that you want to wait. Now, sometimes I get, you know, that's how that could be. It's an example that I'm using. It's a metaphor. What I'm just trying to say is like, wait for your table to be clean and prepare for you so you can enjoy your experience. So that's just what it made me think about. That's true. What would you say to somebody who has been waiting for like years? So, cause this is all good in a vacuum or just when we talk about it, but people fail to realize that this waiting process can sometimes take several years. And there's plenty of examples in the Bible of people waiting almost their entire life to mm-hmm. fulfill their purpose. So what would you say to those who are waiting?
I got some Bible for them. One second here. Because that is a really great question. So Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." That scripture is really, it's so simple, but it's so profound because I would tell somebody, listen, I know the wait has been tiring. It's been long. You feel like you've been in the season for a long time. Trust me, I'm there right now. There have been some things that I've been praying, fasting for, sitting at God's feet, really seeking clarity on, trying to gain understanding. And the promise hasn't come yet. It hasn't. And to be honest with you, sometimes it feels like the promise is never going to come. It feels like it's It's light years away. But I'm reminded in the word that I can't get weary in well doing. I can't get weary in my wait. I can't get weary in my season of preparation. That's why I said, and I'll say it again, and this time I'm going to get it right. Private preparation precedes public promotion. You have to prepare in private and listen. And so for anybody out there that's watching, I know right now that it's tough because it's tough for me in the wait, you know, but we can't let the wait make us weary and give up throwing the towel. Because could it be, may I submit this to you? Could it be at the point of you wanting to give up is the point you are the closest you ever been? And right when you give up, that's right what the enemy wants you to say. I got her. I got him. He threw in the towel. I knew he would. You've been waiting for 7 years, for 3 years, for 10 months, for 2 years. And you get right to the breakthrough. And you say, I'm done with that. I it's not going to work. I've been sowing for the past, you know, 4 months, 4 years, 10 years. And I ain't seen no rain. I ain't got a harvest. So you know what? I'm not. It's not going to work out for me. It's never going to happen. Scripture says, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest and we do not give up. So I would want to tell them, hey, I empathize with you. I understand 100% because I'm there right now. So this is not me talking from a place of not being there. I'm telling you what I'm going through right now today at the time of this recording. But you can't give up. You can't give up. You can't give up. You can't give up. I don't know who this is for, but you can't give up because you're farther now. You're closer now than you've ever been. And if you give up now, you forfeit all the promise and breakthrough that God has for you. And this is not about, you know, prosperity teaching, but this is about you don't want to forfeit the promise and the breakthrough because you quit. Because you quit. So don't quit. Hang in there. It may not get easier, but God is faithful.
That was good, bro. Hey man. Somebody put him in a pulpit, man.
Relax. Relax. I'm being obedient, man. I'm not even gonna duck it.
That was really good, bro. Yeah.
To God be the glory.
That blessed me. Like, do you like roller coasters? You might not.
Bro, you know what? Growing up, I didn't, but now I do. And that, bro, I love them now.
One thing I hated about roller coasters was waiting in the line, dog. I hated a line queue. I'm not gonna, cause it's like, dog, it's too hot. The line be super, super duper long. But when you get to the roller coaster and you get on it and you go through it, by the time it ends, you be like, it was fast. And you look back at it, I'm like, damn, that was quick. You know what I'm saying? But it was an enjoyable experience. And I'm saying that to say, like, the one thing that when I think about my roller coaster experiences, because I like roller coasters too, I remember the enjoyment of that process. I never remember, oh man, we was waiting in line all day.
Yeah.
Oh man, I had to wait years for this. You know what I'm saying? I had to go to this point. You remember the joy from it and not so much of the waiting process of it. But there's a lot of people who wait in that line and they see it and they don't even try because they turn around in the middle of the line because it's taking way too long.
You wait too long.
And they can't sit through the line, whatever, the queue line. And I've been there too.
You're teaching right now.
This is a real life example. Like, people will literally walk. If you're in a line, you're in a pigeonhole line where they make you, it's intended to keep you in that line, and you have to wait your turn. And people will squeeze past and make it harder on their journey and walk back. And the only experience they had from the park was, we didn't ride on anything. Well, you didn't wait on anything.
Yeah.
You didn't wait your spot to get on it like everybody else. Some people have the fast pass. And shout out to Six Flags, it's closing next year.
Man.
Hey, I'm gonna have to go once
for the one time.
Yeah, we gonna have to go out there and vlog or something. Do it
for all our DMV natives. we are mourning and grieving loss of Six Flags. Hey, if you're not a DMV, you probably won't be noticed, but this is just a DMV thing. Six Flags is closing. So
if you are 16 and under, 18 and under this year, please stay away from Six Flags.
Please, yeah.
Give this to us
millennials.
21 and up, yep. Please. Let us enjoy this one last time. But people have another thing, the hating thing you talked about. People get the fast pass. And you be sitting in line, and it's your go. And all of a sudden, they keep your gate closed, and then the fast pass people are able to get on the roller coaster. Or there's a celebrity in town or something, and they get the whole roller coaster to themselves. And you be like, man.
You're like, come on, bro. What they don't like?
But you don't understand. There was a price or a premium that was paid for them to get into that spot. There was a dollar amount or some type of... The one thing which was going to be an episode later, because I loved it when you said, earlier today, we had an off-camera conversation. At what cost?
Yeah.
And people don't understand the cost that it took for them to wait. You get what I'm saying? You don't understand the cost that goes behind it. So instead of having the frustration like, man, that could have been me. It can be you. Maybe it's your glimpse of glory. Maybe what they're going through or with their enjoyment is giving you a glimpse of hope that, man, if that happened for them, that can happen for me too.
Bro, and like, bro, and you, this topic, we're going to save it for another episode because I think it's going to be a good one. We live right now in a town where everybody looks at the glory and not the cost of the glory. So you'll see somebody front stage or, you know, you'll see somebody out, you know, doing great things, you know, whether it's a preacher, teacher, whether it's an influencer, and for me, I promise you, bro, I can appreciate that. But the one thing I'm always asking is like, what did it cost them? Because everything has a cost,
right?
Everything has a cost. Nothing is free. And what, like, how much they have to pay and sacrifice to get to where they are, and what it costs sometimes creates a level of deficit, you know, because you know you are withdrawing from a bank account, you know what I'm saying, when you purchase something, and you know what I mean, or you put it on credit, but literally, Bishop Jake said this: greatness costs what it costs. It's no discounts. It's no buy one get one half off. This it costs what it costs, and I wish people sometimes would stop looking at people who are front staging or just people who are doing great things and being envy, because you don't even know what that person is carrying. You don't understand the frustration, the long nights they go through, the insecurities that come with being somebody who's out, you know, in the front or leading people. Like, one thing that I always pray for is I'm like, God, continue to make my skin thick as you elevate me, because I know that like the first thing that I think of with elevation, I'm like, okay, all right, if God elevates this platform or just whatever I do, I'm going to be open. Like, I'm going to have to be ready to be open to more criticism, more critiquing, more people have an opinion on what I do, where I'm at, what I, you know, who I am, like who I'm talking to, like literally everything that I do gets magnified. So I always pray, I'm like, God, prepare me for the blessing. Like, prepare my mind, prepare my heart to be able to one, withstand the test of time that comes with being a leader and somebody who is out, you know, doing great things in a community or, you know, whatever your field may be. But I always ask God to make sure that, one, my skin is ready for that, because I understand that the moment you blow up or take off, That's when the enemy gonna send everybody, and then people gonna start commenting on you, you know, what you have on, you know, if you pick that way, like literally, whatever your insecurity is, it will get highlighted as you get elevated. So I tell God, make sure my skin is thick so that one, I can handle being great, you know, because I don't want to be somebody who can't withstand what comes with being elevated, because you know, as you get elevated, the air gets thin. But that's a different story.
That's good, and that all ties right back into the whole idea. We can close now, but that all ties back into that point where that refining process.
Yes.
That skin development, that maturity development, whatever that thing is for you, that is a process that has to take place. And a lot of times people want to rush the process because they don't want to wait it out, because it's a long, stressful process. You experience hurt in that process. You experience pain. But the things that people fail to realize is that the no's that you receive during that time, the bad things that happen during that time are all things that you need, and they become a tool, like a toolkit that prepares you for your opportunity. And it's not necessarily a loss. It's more so of a tool, like I said. Mm-hmm. And you can use that tool and utilize it later and be like, dang, I remember this. Dang, I remember that. And that ties into my last point with the, which I really like, the roller coaster thing. One of the most important things you can have in life is a memory. And as long as you can remember the last time you waited and got something and how it blessed you, then hopefully that can sustain you to your next blessing.
Stay right there. I was thinking this, and this is, I know we're in the spirit right now, because like you thinking, you just communicated what I was thinking. And what I was going to say is this, is that times when I waited on something and God blessed me and opened the door and provided the provision, I didn't forget to wait. Like, I don't want to get that point misconstrued, but the breakthrough, the wait didn't compare to the breakthrough mm-hmm. and blessing that was on the other side of the wait. And you know, once the wait was over, it made sense.
Mm-hmm.
It made sense as to why I had to wait, because he not only was preparing me for the blessing, but he was preparing it for me, you know, the blessing for me. And that a lot of times, bro, is what's going on. You know, like it's a two-way preparation going on at the same time. So, you know, man, I really, you know, I always tell people, like, when you waiting, you're gonna get tired. Just don't quit. Just don't quit. Whatever you do, you're gonna get tired, you can get frustrated, discouraged, upset. You are. I will not lie to you. I will be a lying vessel. Mm-hmm. To say you not, and I refuse to do that. But what I will say is, it's okay. Get back up. You're gonna make it. Just don't quit. So, you got anything else?
Nah, it left me. It'll come back later.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. This is the Easy Talk Show, and until next time, I will see you later. Love, Easy.